one of the moments that I was like, wow, we have entered a different level of bomba where now we need to start talking, matching, right, musicality with our conciencia. When we talk about Black Lives Matter, when we took out, it was like a repeated history, ¿verdad? When we talk about how we used it, and si no nos iban a escuchar, íbamos a tocar barriles, how we use it with protests, how we write songs to let you know how we want the power of chanting. When you're trying to give a message and everyone, there's nobody that can stop 100 people from singing a message. That message se ha regado por todos nuestros ancestros, this energy all over the world.
You're listening to The Rhythm of Rebellion with Taina Asu. Welcome back to another episode of The Rhythm of Rebellion. I'm your host, Taina Asili, and today we have the privilege of delving into the vibrant world of the Puerto Rican musical tradition of bomba through the extraordinary journey of Ibelis Bombera de Corazón Díaz. Bomba is an Afro-Puerto Rican musical tradition that emerged 400 years ago during the enslavement of our West African ancestors. It incorporates dance, song, and percussive instruments, including the drum, also called a barril, as well as maraca. And like many Afro-Indigenous folkloric traditions, it was manifested as a way to reclaim our humanity in the face of inhumanity. Century upon century, it has been passed down through the bodies and voices of stewards keeping this tradition alive, maintaining bombazos, or spaces where bomba is practiced, as a way to help us to remember who we are and where we come from. It's now a tradition that's practiced not only in Puerto Rico, but throughout the diaspora, wherever Puerto Ricans reside, from New York City to San Francisco to Chicago. Ibelis was born and raised in Humboldt Park, the heart of Chicago's Puerto Rican community. Her journey into bomba began at a young age under the loving mentorship of her uncle Eli S. Rodriguez, a founding member of Chicago's first bomba y plena collective, Grupo Yupa. Ibelis's thunderous yet melodic vocals, even at the age of 14, led her to become a lead vocalist in the group. Continuing this legacy, Ibelis became founding member and lead vocalist of Bomba con Bulla, the director of the all-women ensemble Las Bompleneras, and is now director of Bomberes de Cora. She's also founder and director of La Escuelita Bombera de Corazón, which provides classes and workshops covering bomba percussion, dance, vocals, and history. As a child, I danced bomba with my mom, who in the late 1960s co-founded a bomba group called Quimbamba at what's now Binghamton University in upstate New York. I had always dreamed of rekindling that connection as an adult, and that time finally came during the pandemic when I had the incredible opportunity to begin taking online bomba classes. And it was during this time that I found La Escuelita and Ibelis. Today we'll speak with Ibelis about this remarkable initiative to not only preserve bomba tradition, but also to create a space of healing, resistance, reciprocity, and remembrance. Hello, Ibelis. Welcome to the Rhythm of Rebellion. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so grateful for you to be on the show. This has been a dream of mine ever since I started taking classes with you. I was like, one day I want to interview Ibelis. You are just a wealth of wisdom, of knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're talented too, girl. You know, you're talented too, and I love that we can share this space, right? Something different. Let's talk about our experiences, all that good stuff.
Yes, and speaking of that, you have such a profound richness of experience. At the top of the show, I mentioned briefly that when I was younger, my mother danced bomba, and so I did have an introduction at a young age, but yeah. I didn't have that continuation. But you, Ibelis, you started doing bomba with family at such a young age, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit about how those early experiences and that guidance shaped you, your connection to bomba, your desire to preserve Puerto Rican culture, and specifically Puerto Rican culture in Humboldt Park.
Oh my goodness, thank you. That's such an amazing question. You know, being in Bomba since a little kid, right? Since I was 5 years old. And I say five because five is when I literally remember, you know, practicing basic step. Like I can go back to remembering when I met discipline. First time I met discipline, first time I met like dedication. And I started understanding that, whoa, I'm dancing with the rhythm that my body holds, but there's more to this. Now I'm 5 and 6 years old and I'm like, I'm committed. I'm invested. I love it. I love how I feel. And, you know, coming from a family that's so like pro cultura, Puerto Rico, I'm here, you know, we're from Guayama, the southern side of Puerto Rico. And coming from a family where we held down traditions, you know, is holding down who they are. Mi abuelo, mi abuela, my mom, my uncle, my aunt, from cooking to el lenguaje, you know. I still have some members in my family that have been in la diáspora 40 years y no, nunca se le pegó el inglés. So wow. Instead of those being things that we were ashamed of, it was things that we use as power tools to continue to produce that. Like, you know, the kids in this family, they're going to speak Spanish because once you enter public schools, you know, in the diaspora, everything is English, you know. And right. So I was raised in a home that was very clear, very transparent, celebrated, and just surrounded by women that were very progressive and innovators, you know, the way that we spoke, we always spoke about in 20 years, in 10 years, in 30 years. And so con esa intención, this is how we woke up every day. And let's do bomba. And my aunt making the skirts and my tío Eli making the vejigante masks y panderos and coming together with other practitioners and families that were like, bomba needs to be here in Chicago también. Acuérdate, these are It's a flood of Puerto Ricans coming from into New York and Chicago. So we're like, oof, ya este avión, this 4.5 hour flight, I already feel a little bit disconnected. Vamos a hacer un caldero de arroz. Vamos a hacer esto. Vamos a conocer que it's the smells, right? And so Those experiences, like before I start talking about a basic step, una falda or un barril de bomba, like this is the tones of voices, the way that you see. Every time you come into a house, tienes que pedir la bendición. Esa disciplina familiar and love is what really molded me to like have this orgullo and this deep, deep, deep like investment, dedication, love to what la cultura stands for. And it's just not musicality, right? Before we start talking about musicality, is what it stands for. And this is beautiful black music. This is music of liberation. This is music of resistance. This is music that is a language. And that's what bomba started. Bomba is a language for me. Before I can properly speak my Spanish and my English, bomba was my language. And so it is a part of me. And literally, I honor bomba and what our ancestors, because without it, I don't know who I am. And not by name, Bombera Corazon, like literally Ibeliz Diaz. It's so rooted in me that it's so beautiful. How do you not multiply that joy and bring it into spaces where other people can experience, so people know the reality and the truth and the love and the real meaning of bomba, que sí tiene su you know, the hard times, right? Because we can't romanticize bomba, pero where we reclaim our stories and are the storytellers, I think that's so powerful. And so,
yes,
I think always wanting to have a different pipeline to empower folks, like this is what our people went through, but this is how we've turned it into powerful tools. And this is why. Still in 2023, right? Folks want to oppress the power that we have. It's really ridiculous. So when you think about bomba like that, you're like, whoa, y esto vino de mis mayores, mis tías, mi mamá, mi familia, que siempre ha sido como que un orgullo ser boricua. Like it was like, it's the best experience in this world. And I really thank them. So that's the pipeline where I started and the first perspective of like, this is bomba. Esto es lo que se llama bomba. So it was a pipeline full of much love and y que se tenía que hacer el trabajo, you know?
Elise, there's so many things I want to respond to with that. I'm like, I my brain is sparking off in so many different places. And, you know, so many places where I connect with that. You know, my parents, mm-hmm. too, instilled in me this pride of being Puerto Ricana, this pride in who I am, mm-hmm. literally in my name, right? In Taina as my name, right? Sorry. But also in the cultura, in the music, in the rhythm, in the dance, in the song, in the voice. For us, you know, I grew up in upstate New York where there was no other Boricua. So there was an element of our household was this place of safety and a place of preservation of our culture, so that my parents were like, you are going to know who you are and where you come from.
Eso hace.
You know, and my abuelita coming with her sofritos in the butter tubs and stuffing them in the freezer so that, you know, when she left, I would know the smell of our people, right? Like that potent smell, right?
That's right.
And, you know, what I love about what you're talking about in terms of this preservation is the expansiveness of that, right? I remember the first time I went to Humboldt Park, and I remember seeing that Puerto Rican flag going over the street.
Yes.
And is that Division
Street?
Yes,
so we have two flags, and those are our gates, like for real. So there's one on Western and Division and the other one on California and Division. So literally when you're entering or exiting, either way, it sets a tone. So I can imagine. Ooh, when you saw those.
It was so vibrant. You know, my family comes from New York City, right? Ooh. So I grew up around East Harlem folks, mm-hmm. and moms from the Lower East Side. And of course, we have so many powerful Boricuas and so much beautiful culture. But Chicago was a whole nother element. It was a whole nother diaspora perspective, mm-hmm. on identity. Mm. And it was just so beautiful and continues to be as I witness it in the work that you do today. You know, I was thinking about all these different bomba groups that you have been a part of, right? Yes. Your expansiveness, not only in just doing bomba, but all the different lenses of bomba that you, mm-hmm. do. So Grupo Yubá, Bomba Combuya, Las Bompleneras. How does this reflect your dedication to the art form? How has each of these groups contributed to your growth as an artist and the broader mission of preserving and sharing Bomba's legacy?
Oh, I love the groups that you mentioned, right? Because they, you know, more than groups, they are these different opportunities I've had in different times of my life with people that are about the movement and not so much the musicality as music groups. You see? And so, you know, when we talk about Grupo Yubá, Bomba Combuya, Bompleneras, these are spaces where all of us as a collective, we literally got to pick at each other's brains. And within picking each other's brains, right? Not picking sides, but picking brains. You know, we say that a lot in La Cuelita, you know? We pick brains, we don't pick sides. It allowed us to have like such a center point where we got to really also allow ourselves to experience bomba in its evolution. You know, remember when you're in bomba for a very long time, you're so dedicated, right? And sometimes your responsibility is to make sure that this first floor gets, you know, built, and the second floor, and then you got the people that get to experience it. And then after a while, we get to experience and go back like, oh, I remember this and blah, blah. And so in those times where I've been able to not be frontlining and just like sit back, observe, learn, which is my favorite thing to do as well, right? These groups have been like so positive, and Bomba Combuya, the Grupo Yubá, you know, after my uncle became the director, you know, like gave me that sense of like, tú estás escribiendo, and he saw bomba with his own eyes. So this is my elder, you know, that's a pipeline in Grupo Yubá, writing his songs, like, whoa, you know, being able to usar eso, you know, los trajes tradicionales y gozarme eso y you know, plantar bandera and feel no shame. How beautiful, and to be surrounded by a whole group group, Grupo Yuba, doing that and really know what, you know, that community service was, right? Because Grupo Yuba, you know, is where we started our program in Segundo Ripelvis years back, you know, with different, yeah, with different families. So before Bomba, this is why it's so beautiful to acknowledge not only, you know, cultural centers, but acknowledge the families that made this, you know, people make this move. And so I honor my mayores, and I honor the mayores that were frontlining at that time, because that's very scary to be part of the first, tú sabes, como que el pan de mantequilla, like setting the tone on what we want to do, yeah. Right? You know, when I got to be part of Bomba con Bulla, I'm surrounded by my brothers and my sisters that have also been doing it as long as me and longer. You know, they're older than me. And so I was around so much mentorship, whether it was on a professional level or on a family level, like, hey, yeah, that's not the way. Because one thing I love about that space was that not so much being corrected musically, because that's just naturally as you learn, but practicing what self-awareness is, and you can't buy that. And I got to practice that with people that love me. And people got to practice it because I love them. You know, it was just mad love. When I was with Bomba con Bulla, like, you know, my brothers were really about like, no, we got to get this right. Let's go back. Let's ask questions. Let's unpack. Let's arreglar las cosas. So cuando venimos de eso, that also, aside from me having my own mentality and stuff like that and my aspirations and all that stuff, that also inspired me and added, you know, positively to my thought process. And how I'm gonna pay it forward. And even if I had ideas, it elevated them. Like, you know, around when Bomba con Bulla started, you know, I started La Escuelita and Bomba Planetas right after that. So all of these projects, I started them as a tool and a space to be able to have a playground to be like, how does this go? Okay, what is this? Yeah. And also be a reflection of where we're at as a community in Bomba. That's cool too. Bomba's evolution as a whole is a balance. And then what is going on in the communities? That is a reflection of the Bomba groups and how we serve Bomba, you know, so that's really cool. Right. And so, you know, all of these have been spaces and I'm just grateful yes. because in order for you to be magical, you got to be around some magical people.
Ooh, yes.
You get what I'm saying? And so, you know, big ups
that's
to everybody.
The whole purpose of this podcast is to be around magical people like you, you know?
There's something that you said there that really touched me. It made me think about how I came into your world in a different way. You know, you spoke of responding to the community and how you offer Bomba, right? Mm-hmm. How I came into your life was, you know, during the pandemic, during a time when, you know, never mind finding classes in the community, we couldn't leave our homes. Oh. You know, we were in places of devastation, of despair. Mm-hmm. And you found a way to build community, not only within your local community, nationally, internationally, bringing community together, Boricuas together. To me, it was such a profound gift to know that as I was sitting alone in my room, that there was my people on the other side somewhere feeling what I felt, doing what I'm doing, being in community together. Mm-hmm. It was also, I will say, intimidating. You know, there were times when I was a little bit, you know, nervous to get out of my comfort zone. And that's one thing that I love about you, Ivelisse, is that you really helped to draw that out in a way that's also honoring the art form. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about what your vision for La Escuelita Bombera de Corazón is. How does it serve as a platform for not only preserving Bomba tradition, but also fostering healing and empowerment?
Ooh, I love this. I love this because these are the interviews. This is what I love. Because you know the la conciencia, the importance of conciencia and discipline. As we are trying to learn how to use this medicine right? Mm-hmm. Well, we are making something that's of necessity, you know, for necessity. It's so beautiful. And so, you know, going back to the pandemic times, like this is probably something I feel very comfortable speaking about right now, you know, after, you know, 5 years and stuff. But, you know, in the pandemic times, it was the scariest time of my whole life. It was the most scariest time of my whole life, and Bomba's booming. Right. And so you have to sit back and like, wait, Bomba's not booming because of its musicality. Ahora que viene. When we use these, you know, terms at, you know, our ancestors. Right. And healing music and medicine. Now, this is effective. Now, when we say, you know, music of resistance, now are we really going to show up? Todo el pueblo, and not only me, like all over the world, people. This is our first time that, you know, we had to go straight virtual and all that stuff. That's very intimidating. And there's a whole world waiting on you. Whoa. Yeah. You know, Taina, there were so many times that I was giving class and I was so depressed. You know, I was depressed for like a good year. You know, now I can talk about it because at that point, I didn't understand what was going on because... Of course, yeah. You know, I'm in Bomba, but let me tell you something. My peoples didn't leave me. I got to turn on and there was food in my table, you know, because there was a beautiful service going on. And you guys needed healing and I showed up as best as I can. And you guys put food in my table. So beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like being in Bomba so long, like for me, that stood in a time where it was like, thank you for giving me for the next 30 years. Esto es efectivo. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? And so, before the pandemic, the home was the world for La Escuelita. So, wherever I was at, ahí está Bombate. We needed to learn something, then let's learn it. You know, the mission of La Escuelita was being a pipeline of, you know, accessibility for everyone. Before the pandemic, we had people choosing, you know, like Bomba was at its boom, but it was at its boom musically, and it was kind of the melting pot of how we match that into how we show up in Bates. And so when the pandemic came, I just love that it gave us an opportunity to all meet together as La Diaspora, ¿verdad? La Escuelita en mucha forma, and just be like, yo, like pain is what brought us together. Fear is what brought us together. The fear of having to live within our homes and how do we make a big old community from our homes. So though you felt intimidated and I was, you know, I felt scared like, whoa, ¿qué vamos a hacer? You know, we came together. And so just thinking about it like 3 years, 4 years, it really did change. Mm-hmm. Remember, we would talk so much about when we get to about day, you guys, when the pandemic is over. We manifested things. We did the paseo. You know, some of you guys got to see what a full live bate was. Look at how everyone is visiting each other from one place to another. It's just like all this beautifulness. So right now, 2023, we're in November. La Escuelita, November 9th will be 14 years old right now. Wow. Right now. You know, la misión de la escuelita es, va a ser lo mismo, is continuing to be, you know, a connector for la diáspora, for Puerto Rico, to preserve and to also continue to be innovators in our own way without touching on the foundation. You know, and that's really important. It's really important. Mm. Baby, the best way that I've been able to create in this world is knowing my foundation even better. The deeper you go, the higher you go, baby. Yes. And so, yes. And so, you know, right now I'm telling you this, you know, but, you know, in a year, it's like Cuelita's going to be 15 years in next year. You know, it's like it continues to grow. And I guess that's the beauty of having una escuela, because it literally continues to evolve with the music, but it also evolves with the community. So wherever we're at, that is where we're serving our community in that way.
Yes. So you have a new birth of La Escuelita Bombera de Corazón in the form of a home.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
That has been so exciting. Mira, Taina, Dios mío, we've been open for 6 months and it has been beautiful. It has been a process of like healing. It has been a process of like celebrating that we have a home. Well, everywhere's a home because wherever the people move, that's home, right? But it's very different when we need to make a mission and we need stability you know what I'm saying? Because it is part of the business game, like opening those doors. Tú no sabes, when people put their hand on that knob y van a abrir esa puerta, es como que I belong here, step in. You are stepping into a vortex of love, of community, y aquí se practica self-love, you know, tú y yo y ellos, you know what I'm saying? So there's like individuality for the love of, you know, of collectiveness. So, oh my God, it's so dope. And we're having such a good time, you know. And on the other side, I'm like, whoa, to see everything, you know, that has transpired from La Cuelita, from a vision, from a class, from me just wanting to like give a different sauce and just like, mira mi gente, pueden hacer esto, blah, 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 and just speak on it differently. Como ha crecido. And to see it all in one space, we are organizing, we are cleaning out, we are just like, you know, leveling up, we are growing, we are celebrating, we are paying it forward, we are, you know, developing, like, whoa. And, you know, I used to be bothered, like, man, I can't believe I have a school that's like really developing. There's so many people that have come from like Cuelita in the last 14 years, and I don't have a home to bring folks to, you know, like, tú sabes que yo lo veo como mi mundo, mi bendiciones, todos ustedes, tú sabes. And I'm like, like, how can we do this? So it's brought a sense of stability. And so like now it's so beautiful to have the keys to a place where you don't have to ask permission to do the work that has to be done, that the work that is needed. You know,
that's right.
Now we matching our talk with our walk, and we get to move it because we understand this. And so it gives us an opportunity to not wait on anyone and still invite folks to show
up.
You know, practitioners and people that are frontlining and people that are teaching and making spaces and stuff like that. Like, we are not outside. We are in it. And so then, you know, this is a way that we always have to remind, we are students the whole time. We are frontlining the whole time. I mean, this is why in life we wear different hats, because this can all be true at the same time. And so then practicing and honoring each other, and now folks coming in and being like, wow, esto es un corille de bomberos y pleneres que are so committed, and they've been committed, and now they got their home. There are people that leave La Escuelita like, yo puedo hacer esto. Vamos, un corillo de gente, practitioner, not only Boricuas. We have a little bit of everything in La Escuelita.
That's right.
You get what I'm saying? Because, you know, black or brown, Afro, Indigenous, like, we know there's this feeling that is attached to how you invest in your community and how dedicated you are and how you're like, it's a lifelong thing to the survival. You know, to the survival of the game, that's really important. And that is something that you can't practice. You have to be aware. And after you're aware, baby, the rest fluye. That's why whether you're studying music or whatever, that's why we're always talking about foundation, mayores, stories, because there's going to be something that hits you that you're going to go, that you're going to connect to. You know what I'm saying? Because this is spirituality, y'all. This spirituality, musicality, this is identity, this is exploration of the whole world, but this is spirituality. And that's why we're talking about spirituality, because spirituality is connected to your true self. And so, que la que.
Oh, so true. Oh, so true. I love that. And, you know, I loved when you had some of the guests come on in our classes, and they would talk about that connection to spirituality that sometimes we forget, you know? And, you know, spirituality as also a liberation practice.
Yes.
You know, and I was thinking about, you mentioned a little bit about how Bomba has really grown. There's something different that's happening right now in
Absolutely.
Bomba.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to understand a little bit more about how Bomba is being utilized today in our social movements as a liberation practice.
When we talk about Bomba and a social movement, right? Social movements, right? Because when we talk about Bomba en la Diaspora y Puerto Rico, we also have to acknowledge all these different communities, all these different struggles, and how Bomba shows up in different communities, depending on the resource you have, and not only money, but resource on a mayor, resource on just having access, right, to practice it, have a practicing community. And so I was telling you that, you know, musicality, you know, cuando vienen los sonidos de esos tambores, lo que atrae a la gente, the oldest standing ancestor, Dios mío, ese barril, you know, is so powerful. And so when we talk about social movements in Bomba, we talk about, you know, I think one of the moments that I was like, wow, like we have entered a different level of Bomba where now we need to start talking, matching, right, musicality with our conciencia. When we talk about Black Lives Matter, when we took out, it was like a repeated history, ¿verdad? Tú sabes, when we talk about how we used it, and si no nos iban a escuchar, íbamos a tocar barriles, how we use it with protests, how we write songs to let you know how we want the power of chanting. When you're trying to give a message and everyone, there's nobody that can stop 100 people from singing a message. That message se ha regado por todos nuestros ancestros, this energy all over the world. You know, one person's struggle is your struggle, ¿verdad? If our Black and brown people are not free, then it ain't nobody free. Estamos todos conectados. Por eso es importante, when we go back to study Bomba, this is why it's not about quién es el mejor musical. Yes, I want the best. Yes, I do. Because we have all the potential. Cuando uno está estudiando un lenguaje, let's stop calling it music. Un lenguaje. Uno practica. When we are practicing A, B, C, A, B, C, D, E, B, we start pronouncing it correctly individually. Then we start making our words. And one of the first things we learn how to pronounce when we're kids, it's our first and last name. Allowing ourselves to go back to that also allows us to practice how we move in a social setting, which becomes a direct mirror of what's going on in our community. You know, the self-awareness, the messages we want to, how we, our behaviors. That is what puts to practice how we mold our social movement within Bomba. And the way that we play a barril, you see, I'm at a point where I go into bateas and I like to close my eyes because we are vessels, right? We are vessels. I'm not concerned about what you look like, you know, but when we close our eyes, are you showing up? Are those hands playing like, you know? You know, is that voice? Are you at your full potential where not only do you know the history of Bomba, but you know the history of yourself. You feel good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you practice that maraca. You know, when you have to sing with a maraca, that means that you are el compás y el tiempo de otra cosa. You're time traveling. Whoa, is my voice complimenting how high this maraca is? Why is the maraca louder than me? And I am the storyteller. I am coming to give these stories, or I want you to believe them, because we need to be storytellers and pass them on. It's an oral history. So mira como los social movements se, look at how they develop. And it's not so much about like, what do you believe in? Okay, next. What do you know how to play? Okay, next. Do you know how to sing? Do you know how to do maraca? Okay, next. No, it's like, hey, how do you share? What are some behaviors you have? What are some values? Can we sit down and talk about some community agreements so that we can all make music that aligns with our harmony? And maybe those that are struggling to find their harmony, they can make those sounds when you hear like, ooh, look at all those different levels. Look at the harmony when you hear people sing. Those are different tones, different, you know, it's just, when I talk about social movements, like, this is how effective it is. Like, how can we all be in this space and all have like a centered agreement that we want to be libre in our most authentic selves?
Wow. So, look, you know, when I teach classes on songwriting for social change. You know, I talk about, you know, a lot of times people are thinking about the lyrical content, right? So they're thinking about songwriting and they're like, what lyrics? How can we write these lyrics? And I like to do deep listening practices with folks where we listen to what is the message being played in the drum? That's what is the message in the guitar? What is the message in the bass and the horns and the violins and messages, right? Because there's like multiple that are transmitting. And that's what makes music so powerful. It's not just one message being transmitted. It's the harmony or the complexity of the multiple sounds that get transmitted and literally, physically hit our bodies, hit us on a cellular level, and are impacting us.
Eso es. And that is spirituality. That's the process.
And that's it. And that's the spirituality. And when people think about music and social change, when I asked you about how bomba is being utilized in social movements, you know, a lot of folks might expect an answer like, oh, well, we play at this demonstration or this protest, you know, singing about this message. And what your answer was, is it's the practice itself.
Exacto.
It's not where you're doing it. It's the bombazo itself. It is the practice. It is the musicality. It is the instrumentation. It's the community building that is the liberation work.
People walk into a vortex of bombazo, and once they're in there, you don't go to be afraid. You go in to be empowered. But once you step out, that's when the practice really goes in. Hey, do you believe that power you just felt in there? You made it. And so you practice that. When we all show up and we acknowledge that and we're like, ah, guide me in that. Ooh, subidor, let's get it. Ooh, cantadora, tírame eso. Gracias por elevarme. Now let me tie this up y hacer un paseo y caminar y presentar mi conecto esto. You know, it's like, it's so beautiful because it allows us to practice just everything we lack in the most higher self. This is why it's so important to study. Because where you study is where you find the person you may not have had a time to grab a conversation from, a guidance from. Afro-Indigenous music, it demands that you always have a guide. Un mayor, alguien que tú camine. We can't do this alone because the struggle is just not one person's struggle. Es algo lineal así together. Y cuando uno vira, el otro has to catch you. And so it's just like, you know, this is healing. You know, when we talk about social movements, you know, these are words that have always been around, but now they're being connected to bomba. Like, whoa, ahora que estamos hablando de bomba en muchas cosas, because that's how effective and powerful bomba is. And so I think that in the next 50 years, we'll be able to really talk about how it was used as a social movement for this time, because we are right now building, practicing it, its effectiveness. We are witnesses, somos los testigos de eso que, oh, wow, como la bomba me hace sentir, and how it makes me have grace on the next person.
Ibelis, I love the way that you guide this next generation of bomba, right? And I was wondering about what advice you might have for that next generation on how to navigate this intricate balance between tradition and innovation in their / our creative work.
You know, just like I said earlier, we have to dig deeper in order to go higher. It's like that slingshot, right? The more we go back, nos seteamos, nos preparamos y estamos, we take a lot of slingshots for different levels in our lives, right? And the best advice that I can give is that there's time and you do not rush growth. Because if you rush growth, you'll skip a couple of things that are very important to you growing even more at your fullest potential. Mayores are everything. You pick brains, you don't pick sides. Mayores that we have now, that are still alive, are pipelines, your vessels, your answers to what you're going to be looking for in the next 20 years. I cannot stress that enough. You know, I have my godchildren for Loisa that I'm always with. Something I always remind them about when they're like, Madrina, I have an idea. I have an idea here. I have an idea there. It's literally to sit back, observe, and learn, and come back to the writing board. right? Make yourself part of the process. You know, whoever's listening to this, and it's the new generation. And when we talk that, you know, when we talk about the new generation, you're talking about age or you're just talking about people, right? Because when we talk about Bomba, I was talking to other people this weekend, like, man, when we talk about new generation, are we talking about people that are just finding Bomba?
Mm.
Whoa, they're part of the new generation too. You know, True. That's beautiful. The True. Same 50-year-old that comes in learning about Bomba and the 13-year-old, that means that this 50-year-old lives so all of this without this. Y qué rico que uno de 17 años, 15 is learning it now and even younger. When we talk about new generation, like, are we talking about eso lo que están llegando or new? And it applies to all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, while you're learning Bomba, like, hazlo con orgullo, hazlo con respeto, and know that you are setting the tone for the next person that's going to come in. And that will be a reflection of how you understood, you know, and how you pay it forward. And I think there's beauty in that. People that are taking classes, like, this is not a you're here and I'm here. You know, yes, I have to guide you because somebody else is guiding me, right? And then there's somebody else that you're going to guide. Es un proceso colectivo. You know, our ancestors call us to do this work, but our ancestors also always had a plan. When we have a plan, that means that we had a collective. We are ready. This is effective. We're going to get there. You know, we manifest. We need to start talking about how our ancestors manifested things. They did it. They were manifestors. Right. They were manifestors. And we are vessels. We are who they are. And so my biggest advice is to be your true self and that there's no rush. Never forget that Bomba is a time traveling tool. And so though you are so present in today, it is so important how you time travel all at the same time. Siempre para llegar más lejos, you got to dig deeper. All day, every day, con tiempo.
Ashe. Ibelis, thank you so much for taking the time to offer us this gift and for manifesting the way that you do.
Thank you.
For us now, for the generations to come. May it continue to impact the world in beautiful ways to bring justice and healing and more love and more love and more love.
Thank you, Taina. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for just being part of these beautiful spaces. I'm so happy that you came to revisit and you're part of it. And beautiful singer, beautiful dancer. And it's just, you're doing some amazing things too. So thank you so much for all the work you're doing as well, girl.
Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye.
That brings us to the end of this inspiring conversation with Ibelis Diaz. Her dedication to preserving and advancing the rich heritage of Bomba is truly remarkable. If you want to stay connected with Ibelis and La Escuelita Bombera de Corazón, go to bomberadecorazon.org or on Instagram at laescuelitabdc or Ibelis_Diaz_. I'm Taina Asili, your host. You can keep up with my work on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Taina Asili, on Facebook at Taina Asili Music, or on my website, tainaasili.com. All of these links will be shared in the show notes. Many thanks to our editor Moses Nagel and Sina Basila Hickey at Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave your thoughts about the podcast. Your feedback is invaluable and helps us to continue to bring you these thought-provoking conversations. Until next time, peace, love, and liberation.